The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and joining me is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
All right. Now, I want to review a little bit of what I said yesterday, because it's an important reminder, and let people get a little insight into what's going on with our healthcare system. And what I'm talking about is, I've gotten some letters from different insurance companies. One letter says, pertaining to a particular patient, this patient is between the ages 40 and 75 years of age and recently filled a prescription for insulin for her diabetes. But they didn't see any prescription for a statin drug. And then they go on to say the American Diabetes Association currently recommends the use of a statin as a lipid management for diabetic patients. Please consider statin therapy for this diabetic patient as appropriate. And then there was another patient, different insurance company. And this is just, should it really be the insurance company's job to do this? I'm not sure. They said this patient has atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease. Consider adding a statin. And then they go on to say it's the 2013 American Heart Association guidelines on the treatment of blood cholesterol to reduce atherosclerotic cardiovascular risks in adults recommend statins to lower the risk for major cardiovascular events in people with clinical atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease, independent of what your LDL cholesterol is. In other words, I don't care what your cholesterol levels are. Just get everybody on a statin. Then it goes on to say, if your patient fits the clinical profile and has not already been put on a statin drug or it's not contraindicated, then you should put your patient on a statin drug. So then after that, we looked up these associations, the American Heart Association, the American Diabetes Association, and you realize those associations are all fronts for the drug companies. The drug companies are funding all of these associations. When you think, as the public, that they're looking out for your best interest, but in reality, they're just trying to market drugs to the consumer.
Very interesting, Dr. Slavin, is here is the insurance company monitoring the prescriptions and the treatment of a private patient, as well as referencing the American Heart Association and the American Diabetes Association. And so here are these organizations preempting essentially what a doctor is using as the correct treatment for his patient. There may be so many subtleties involved with the treatment of these patients that just a general statement such as found in those letters is not applicable to that patient.
Jenny, never once has an insurance company come out and examined the patient themselves, but they don't have a problem giving you medical directions. So I want to remind our listeners what's being written about statin drugs, because millions of Americans are taking them. In fact, probably hundreds of millions of people worldwide are taking statin drugs because the drug companies are doing such a good job of promoting them. And as we know, the statin drugs work by blocking the body's ability to produce cholesterol. And it does that by blocking the body's ability to make an enzyme called HMG-CoA reductase. Now, the side effect of this process, it lowers cholesterol, but the side effect is muscle and joint aches, nausea, rash, headaches, constipation, and diarrhea. In fact, another side effect that wasn't discovered at the initial use of statin drugs was the increased risk of causing diabetes. So the statin drugs damage the liver. And one of the recommendations when you take a statin drug is to monitor your liver enzymes. So that's one of the factors. Then it can affect the kidneys. How does it do that? Well, when it damages muscle, the condition is known as rhabdomyolysis. You have muscle breakdown. And when the kidneys are presented with a high amount of these muscle breakdown products, it can cause kidney failure. Then it can lead to diabetes. So, you know, statin drugs just don't increase your risk of diabetes. They also increase insulin resistance. So it's there's a problem. It has neurological impacts. Many patients who take statins report memory loss, confusion, forgetfulness, amnesia, memory impairment. So, you know, there's a another reason to think about it. And then, of course, the association of heart failure with statin drugs. We know that people who take statin drugs have weaker heart function than those who do not. And you know that anybody on a statin drug has the recommendation of taking coenzyme Q10 to try and counteract some of these negative effects. So,
unfortunately, Dr. Slavin, far too many of the doctors who are writing the prescriptions for statin class cholesterol-lowering drugs don't necessarily mention to their patients the importance of taking CoQ10. So, unfortunately, a lot of the patients are developing CoQ10 deficiencies that are leading to a host of problems, very, very much associated with loss of energy, just a general feeling of malaise.
I just want to say those letters I received from the insurance companies telling me to put patients on statin drugs were written in February. This is new stuff, despite the fact that there's so much negative information out about statins. And in fact, the New York Times ran an opinion piece in which a Harvard Medical School faculty member stated in his article entitled "Don't Give Patients More Statins," and it said that statin therapy side effects and failure to meaningfully protect against heart disease. There's also another issue. It gives the patient a false assurance that they're getting better, which distracts the patient from the true cure for high cholesterol, which is poor lifestyle choices. And the that article strongly cautioned patients against following any guidelines related to statins and instead advise them to consider all of the evidence in order to determine the best course of treatment. So what's all the evidence? The evidence is, by the way, if you would just make the changes in your dietary habits primarily, you can do a far better job of normalizing your cholesterol levels. But even more importantly, and I've seen this over and over again with patients who have what would be considered high cholesterol levels based on a mainstream medicine's definition, when you send them for a calcium score, which evaluates the amount of plaque in their coronary arteries, oftentimes you see zero plaque. So that those patients would have been put on a statin drug for no apparent reason. While one out of every four Americans over the age of 45 is on a statin, few of them are aware of the extensive range of side effects, let alone the potentially deadly complications. Now, and this is the problem across the board with medications. You know, you can insert any medication in the following statement, but we're talking about statins now. While statins may seem like a quick and easy solution, the potential long-term consequences, many of which are fatal, far outweigh the short-term benefits. So I just thought, again, I'll say this. If there was universal agreement that statins were a great drug and there were no side effects or no risks with taking it, then I think the insurance companies would be appropriate in saying or reminding the physician take a statin drug. When you have so much disagreement about a drug, for them to come out and say something like that only shows the impact of the drug companies on the insurance companies. It could be nothing else. Just like the American Diabetic Association telling everybody take a statin, and the insurance companies are in lockstep with that. Now that's the impact of the drug companies, again, influencing insurance companies. And so we have to really be aware of who's telling us what, and then it's got to make sense. Because, again, I'll remind everybody, there's no such thing as a drug deficiency. If you have a problem, it's because you're treating your body improperly in some way, and you have to figure out where that is. And we'll get into the, I'll let Janet say a few words. Janet, you're on your way here?
I should be there momentarily. It's going to be very, very close whether I will be there by the time we get back from the break, but it will be very, very close. One of the things before we went to a break, Dr. Slavin, that I wanted to say, I very frequently see patients who have been diagnosed with cancer also using a statin class drug. Now, my opinion of that is, manufacturers of the cholesterol drugs, the insurance company may say, well, we are so efficient with this drug at reducing inflammation that maybe they're extrapolating from that that it would be beneficial for a cancer patient. My opinion is,
Well, I think we may have just lost Janet. So we'll get back to Janet after the break. But right now you're listening to Natural Doc Radio. Time for a break. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and with me is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. And we'll be back right after this.
At AMT Centers, testing is designed to give you important information before symptoms of disease appear. You get the information needed to evaluate potential disease development. With cutting-edge labs such as Singulex, Innovative, Genova, Doctors Data, and many more, you'll receive definitive evaluations of health issues before problems arise. Learn more at amtcenters.com or call 754-216-2332. 754-216-2332.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via telephone, Skype, or email with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at janetcimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 a.m., right here on AM 1470 WNN.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and joining me is Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. And Janet, are you there?
I am here, Dr.
You're still
Slavin.
There.
I'm okay. About to walk into your office.
All right, let's see if we can make this transition seamless. So while you're doing that, I just want to go into a 2008 article that was in the journal Current Oncology, where researchers were pointing to studies that show a strong association between statin use and higher cancer risks in the elderly, in people with breast cancer, and people with prostate cancer. And also, they said, it could also be associated with tumor progression in people with bladder cancer. So, you know, I'll say the same thing here again. Until there's unanimity in whether or not statins are safe or not, and in this case we're talking about cancer, I think we should be cautious in using a statin drug.
I'm so much in agreement. We have to be so very, very cautious, and unfortunately far too many people are not necessarily aware of the risks that they're exposing themselves to.
All right, so now we're having the transition right now. Let's see how seamless this is. So Janet just walked into where we broadcast, and she turned off her phone and closed the door. All right. So we see a whole lot of potential problems with the use of statins, never mentioned by the people recommending them, including the insurance companies that are telling people, take the statin drug. Now, it reminds me of the recommendations probably not that long ago where people were saying, well, the establishment, the saying, if you have high cholesterol, cut back on cholesterol-containing foods and eat more carbohydrates, the precise formula to raise your cholesterol. Now they've changed all that. Now they say eat all the cholesterol foods you want because it's not going to raise your cholesterol. So I wanted to mention the seven most common factors responsible for chronic illness. And I think number one on the list, and I would agree with this, is eating unnatural nutrition or unnatural foods. I mean, that's a big one. Think about what the average person eats every day. I see all these fast food places. I just wonder how their menus would stack up if you were trying to define whether their foods would be considered natural or unnatural. In other words, based on the vitamin content, the mineral content, the enzymes, the amount of carbohydrates, fats, and protein balance in there. So the goal should be to eat as much natural food. Jana, what would your definition be of a natural food?
Okay. First of all, I think that it has to be something that you can determine from its form what it is. So let's talk about wheat. You can find different types of wheat grain, and you would there are a variety of different ways of dealing with those grains. You can grind them up to make a flour and then do a variety of different things to that to make a food substance. However, we have progressed so far from minimal processing to additives. So you're asking me natural food. It's very, very interesting, Dr. Slavin, because when you see an advertisement, you don't see them very much anymore, but when you would see an advertisement for Splenda, they would say it tastes like sugar because it is sugar, leading people to believe that that is a natural substance. However, it is sugar, sucrose, bound to three molecules, one molecule of sucrose, three molecules of chlorine. That doesn't sound like sugar to me. So you're getting a lot of very, very misleading information about companies purveying a product that they say is natural. However, it has been adulterated.
Well, my definition, I think, would even be simpler than that. I would just say a food that doesn't need to be processed in order to eat. So to me, grains would not be a natural food because you can't eat grains right off the plant.
Oh, yes, you
which
can.
Grain, or which grains are you eating?
You soak them. Is that, you know, so.
Which grains are we eating that way?
Any of them.
Well,
it could be quinoa, it could be millet, it could be bulgur wheat, it could be oats.
Okay.
Yeah, you soak them.
All right. You don't
have to cook them.
Okay.
Not that they taste very good. Yeah. However, you don't have to do anything much.
All right. Okay. So that would.
And it's very, very interesting.
How about wheat? Can you eat wheat that way?
Absolutely.
You just soak the wheat?
You soak it. Yeah. The thing is, I think that there are a lot of primitive societies. That's what they do with their grains. That's what they do with a lot of the foods that they might forage, so to speak.
And are they sold in the? I know that it's not sold that way in the supermarkets. Is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, they are.
How is it sold that way?
Oh, you can get a package of quinoa, millet, teff, amaranth.
So the only ingredient would be quinoa.
That's it.
That's it. Okay.
That's it.
All right. So.
And so what I tell people is we're very accustomed to rice and pasta, but we're not so accustomed to eating quinoa and millet and amaranth and teff and different types of wheat, bulgur wheat.
Okay, but I'm going to make a distinction here. Pasta has to be processed.
Right. I said we're very accustomed to that.
Whereas the wheat doesn't. I'm not sure how the rice may or may not be. I'm not sure. I think the point is, although we may argue, okay, these are foods you can get in a natural state, traditionally, I'm not sure if this was part of the Paleolithic diet. Because the Paleolithic diet was primarily nuts and seeds and fruits and vegetables, and you probably had some raw protein in there as well.
Fish, meat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, interesting. Nobody eats raw chicken, though. They eat raw meat. They eat raw fish. Not that raw chicken is so appetizing anyway, but I'm just, a thought. Animals eat raw chicken, but I'm just trying to say the more we deviate away from natural foods, I think the more health problems we see, because then you're experiencing more contact with chemicals. Now, second on the list, and we're talking about the seven most common factors responsible for chronic disease. So we said, you know, the reason for eating natural food is because I'll say natural organic food is even better. But then the second common cause of a lot of health problems are the chemicalization of our environment. Pesticides, herbicides, fertilizers, medical drugs, food additives, and contact with synthetic garments. So think about all this. You don't realize it when you live day to day, just how much our bodies are being impacted by the environment and all these chemicals that are totally unnatural.
I don't know whether you saw any of the news reports with regard to West Islip, New York. It's very, very interesting that during the very severe hurricane storms that resulted in very severe flooding situations brought chemicals that had seeped into the ground years and years and years ago, brought them to the surface. And people are unfortunate definitely experiencing the effects. And that's exactly what you're talking about with the pesticides, herbicides, fertilizers, and all of that. It's a chemical toxic mix.
And that's Long Island, and I wonder if that's where the cancer belt was anyway.
Well, they were discussing the possibility that some of the cancer diagnoses may have come about after this surfacing of the chemicals.
Another cause of chronic illness is lack of exercise. You have to figure out how to get that into your daily life on a regular basis. You can't, joining a gym membership doesn't work. It's like expecting you to get smart by sleeping on a book and learn through osmosis. You know, you have to do something every day on a regular basis. You know, a half hour a day is probably more than enough if it's quality exercise. And then, you know, remember I've asked some of my oldest patients what their secret to their longevity is. And the one thing they seem to all have in common is they say they don't worry about anything. They know how to deal with stress in a positive way. And believe it or not, the next three things on the list have to do with that. Harmful negative feelings and emotions, got to get rid of that. Harmful mental attitudes and emotional damage, that's a little more tricky one. They say that could be sustained through during birth, childhood, adolescence, lack of positive role models. But how you think about the world is so important to your health.
That's a difficult one. It seems that when we turn on the television, possibly a lot of the fictional shows that are on are problematic and stressful. Certainly if you're looking at news reports, that's very problematic and stress-inducing. So we tend to be surrounded by some things that will produce a stress response. So we have to be very, very careful to do the things in our lives that will mitigate the effects of those, that physical effects of stress.
So I think a lot of people go through life, they don't even think about any of these things unless, you know, we mention it and then you say, let me think about how I'm dealing with things. So, and I'm not saying it's easy to talk about. It's much harder to correct because everybody admits, you know, they have stress in their life. But then how do you deal with it? How do you learn to reduce the impact of stress?
I tell people that they need to think about the things that make them feel good, that they enjoy, and start to put those into their lives on a regular basis. That music means it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine introduces holistic and comprehensive ways to maintain your health, maintain your energy and immunity, your flexibility and your wellness. The team of specialists at the Institute of Advanced Medicine offer all the services to enhance and support all categories of function, health, and well-being. You can call 954-748-4991 to make an appointment today. 954-748-4991. Welcome back. We are tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Zimrelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. And next on the agenda, very, very interesting information that you have there, Dr. Slavin.
Well, we try to, you know, just bring attention to things that can motivate you to just pay attention to what's going on. Take what everybody tells you as the way you should act or behave from a health standpoint, and really think about it, because, you know, to listen to the people, the so-called people in charge, they say healthcare in this country is great. We've got the greatest healthcare system in the world. And then, of course, then one has to then ask the questions. And I bring this up only because who do we hold accountable for this? Why?
I'm sorry. We hold our own individual persons accountable.
Well, that is true. Ultimately, we as consumers have the last say, and we are making changes, right? You've never seen so much organic food available in regular supermarkets as ever before.
Who cares more about your health, you or your doctor?
More? Well, I say that to physicians. Why should I care more about your health than you do? Now, a lot of people don't care about their health, or maybe they're not aware that what they're doing is undermining their health.
So it's a learning process. There's no question.
So I think, you know, it was yesterday or the day before, we talked about who's telling women how to approach breast cancer. You know, and basically they're not telling women how to avoid breast cancer. They're telling women how to identify yourselves once you have breast cancer. In other words, get a mammogram every year, and then you can go for treatments.
It's very, very interesting, because on Saturday, Dr. Slavin and I did a presentation at Green Planet Fest, and the title of the presentation was Breast Cancer Prevention. And we had a very, very interested, engaged audience, people who wanted to hear the options that were out there to prevent the development of cancer. And it was very, very interesting, because some of the things that we talked about, and I'll mention two that I received as feedback, Dr. Slavin. We talked about eggs and organic eggs and eggs from chickens that were free range, accessing out of doors, not given food that had been chemically manipulated. And I view those eggs as very, very high quality natural food. Okay, really good source of protein, good source of lecithin, good source of sulfur. And the other aspect of what we talked about, or I talked about to a little extent, was the eat right for your type. And I tell people, you don't have to memorize the whole book, but just have a little bit of an awareness. And if you're ill, be sure to learn the avoids. There are three categories. Avoids is one category. Learn those, because those really have a potential toxic effect on your body. Right after we spoke, the next person who came in and said, never eat an egg. They're awful. Don't eat them. They'll kill you. And the next person also said that eat right for your type was quackery. Do you have any comment on that? It's very interesting. I feel sorry for the people. This is so confusing.
Right? I think if I recall that her topic was GMO foods, wasn't it?
I don't know.
So you have to say never eat a commercially produced egg, but I would say a naturally produced egg, like Janet just said, is a good food. She never said why it's not a good food, did she? This is the, you know, we weren't there to listen to her firsthand.
No, this was just feedback from a confused participant.
But I'd like to understand why an egg is a bad food. If the chicken is raised properly in, you know, normal conditions, why would an egg be a bad food? Explain that to me. If it's commercially raised, yes, we all agree it's a bad food. So maybe that's the distinction she didn't make.
Okay.
And then what was the second one she said?
It was the discussion that I brought up about eat right for your type, the blood type diet. And I said somebody who doesn't know and hasn't investigated it, on the surface, it would look like quackery. But when you investigate exactly what the responses are of the different blood types to certain foods, you understand
it. I'll tell you my position. And my position is like this. Whether I agree with something or not, I would tell the patient, try it out for yourself. See if it's making a difference. Now, the theory behind eat right for your type, if you go around the world, you see various locations around the world where predominantly a particular type of blood type. So if you went to Africa, one blood type. If you went to Asia, another blood type. Northern Europe, another blood type. So my thoughts were, yeah, back then, eat right for your type. He's saying eat what those localities normally ate, what was their natural foods. I'm thinking today, though, that the world has so intermingled that the impact of that may not be as great as it used to. However, give it a try. You know, test the hypothesis out on yourself, because there's no danger to doing it. All they're asking you to do is avoid some foods and see if that makes a difference in how you feel.
I'm right there with you, Dr. Slavin. I think that there has been such migration and intermingling of blood types that it may not be as certain as it might have been several hundred years ago. And what I do say to patients essentially is just what you said. Try it, that it isn't 100%, but I have found it very helpful in a number of different clients.
I thought of a title to another book we should write. Instead of eat right for your type, eat right for your species. What should a human be eating?
Okay.
Our diets do not reflect what a human should be eating.
Okay, so processed American cheese, probably not something good for Americans to be eating.
How about the term chemicalized foods?
Okay, yeah, there you go. Very important to avoid those chemicals.
So I want to get to this, because this is really important. You want to, just like yesterday we were talking about, how could we have doubled our politicians' salaries in the last 30 years? They used to make $75,000. Now they're making $174,000, more than doubled it. You know, nobody else has seen an increase like that in their own salaries.
Yeah, did your salary double?
No.
Mine didn't. Yeah. I guess we should run for Congress.
You know, you would think, well, they're doing such a great job, let's give them a higher salary. If they were in this private sector, I think they'd all be fired. You know, we have to, pay a little bit more attention. But here's another example about healthcare and just how good it is in this country. In the U.S., giving birth in a hospital may cost between $10,000 and $20,000, and that's if it's a normal delivery. If you have to have a C-section, then you're looking at about $50,000. And these conditions happen around the world. If you are having a baby in different parts of the world, and even different parts of the U.S., for example, in China, a C-section costs less than $1,000. In Turkey, it's about $2,500. In Denmark, you can have your baby free of charge. Well, it's not really free. Remember, we had that patient who used to live in Denmark. They pay very high taxes to get that free health care.
It's very interesting, Dr. Slavin, because in that Michael Moore movie, Where to Invade Next, he talks about, okay, well, this is how much it costs in the United States to, let's say, as an example, pay for college. And it's very expensive. The costs for college education have been one of the most significantly increasing costs over the past 20 years. And then the cost of education, say, in Denmark. And what you find is you're going to pay it now, or you're going to pay it later, and that it's coming out of your pocket to pay for college education, or it's coming out of your taxes. So it was very, very interesting to see those comparisons.
So there's a difference. When you pay for something yourself, it has more value. Why should I pay for a mediocre student that's just being pushed ahead because it's there and the government pays for it, instead of the student that worked hard to get into college and deserves it? So let's not get off the topic, though.
Oh, okay.
Now, we said Denmark is really, it's free. But they have a different approach there. It's much more low-tech, hands-off, and they use a lot of midwives instead of obstetricians and fewer tests and procedures. I might also say that they don't have malpractice as an issue to deal with in Denmark either.
Okay, so they use more midwives, and what about home births and all of that? I mean,
like
there
that.
Are so many different details that are beneficial, so, and corporations. And
so where we're going with all this, and I have a few more points to make, is you evaluate which approach is best by looking at infant mortality. And infant mortality is defined as the number of births in a year over the number of infants during that same year. So you see how many live births you have. Let's say you have 100. 10 of them die in that first year. So infant mortality is 10%. So that's how they figure that out. But it's in a one-year period. It's not the day of the birth. So in China, prenatal care has been described as factory-like, while in the U.S., women with comprehensive insurance plans are likely to be offered and receive treatments that may be largely unnecessary. So, I mean, that's part of the problem, too. If they mandate insurance, and the insurance, whatever the insurance covers, you can be sure that people are going to exploit that. And I think certain things should be covered, certain things shouldn't be covered. So they say here that the healthcare system for women, pregnant women, is designed with a well-insured, high-earning woman in mind. But let's get to the more important points. The World Health Organization, published by the United Nations and World Bank, revealed that worldwide maternal mortality fell by 44% since 1990. That means, I guess, you know, again, within that first year after birth, 40% fewer women are dying. During that same period of time, in the U.S., the number of maternal deaths actually increased, rising from 12 deaths per 100,000 in 1990 to 14 deaths per 100,000 in 2015. This rate is double that of Canada, which has a maternal mortality rate of 7 per 100,000, and it didn't change since 1990. The U.S. was one of only 13 countries that had maternal mortality rates worsen over the last 25 years. The other countries included North Korea, Zimbabwe, and Venezuela. The United Nations goal is to have the global average of maternal deaths below 70 per 100,000, which, of course, we fall into that category. But if you're going to evaluate a healthcare system, this is one of the ways to look at it. How are the babies doing? How are the mothers doing? They say the rate compared to the rest of the world is good, but the safest countries to give birth in are Iceland, Finland, Poland, Greece, where there are only 3 maternal deaths for every 100,000. Now, what's not taken into account here is I just wonder how many people who are pregnant come into this country and give birth and may have poor outcomes because they haven't been exposed to all the prenatal care. They don't get into that at all. But U.S. infant mortality is a whole nother question. U.S. infant mortality rates are higher than those in 33 other nations. So now there's a question, and they're trying to say, why would that be? So why would 33 other nations have fewer infant deaths, which means during the first year? And they're looking at perhaps what is the impact of vaccinations on infant mortality. And they say that the countries with the lowest infant mortality have half the number of vaccines given to the babies compared to the U.S. In the U.S., in the first year, the infants are getting 26 vaccines.
And that music means that we need to take a short break. But when we come back, more on these statistics with regard to healthcare, particularly maternal and infant health. And you're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. We'll be right back.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Dr. Herbert Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor. We are located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill, and you can find us on the web at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience, clean, comfortable, and efficient. We guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest price. We test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. We draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostic, Singulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call us today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Janet Cimarelli is a licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. Are you in search of the fountain of youth, trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Through her remote counseling sessions, she works with many clients to help them manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She can help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. She offers sessions through telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she provides you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at janetcimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we're talking about comparisons with regard to quality of health care around the world. How does the United States stack up? Very, very sad situation when we think that the United States is 33 in the world with regard to infant mortality. And an extremely important point being made, Dr. Slavin, that the issue may not necessarily have to do with prenatal or birth care, but rather what is passing as pediatric care after the delivery. Unfortunately, far too many vaccines.
Well, I do see a correlation. The countries with the lowest infant mortality are giving only 12 to 14 vaccines in that first year, compared to up to 26 vaccines in the countries that have the higher infant mortality. But there are other factors that play a role there, too, and that's premature births. Now, why is that happening? You know, in the United States, premature births have increased by 20% between 1990 and 2006. Why is that happening? We're supposed to, you know, we spend the most money on healthcare in this country. Why aren't we having the best results? And nobody ever asked that question to the insurance companies or all the people that are setting healthcare guidelines in this country. How come we're not getting the biggest bang for our bucks compared to other countries?
What passes for health care in this country is actual chemical care, just an overburdening of bodies with chemicals, pharmaceuticals. So much of the pharmaceutical approach creating a long list of damaging effects.
Now, according to the March of Dimes, there are 380,000 babies born too soon each year. That means before the 37th week of gestation. And that earns the U.S. a grade of C when it comes to preterm births. In the U.S., 1 in 10 babies are born too soon. And the preterm birth rate is higher than that of most high-income countries. So we're like worse than any other country in our category when it comes to preterm births.
a very perplexing problem. So here I'm going to go back to what I said earlier in the show, Dr. Slavin. We as individuals have to accept responsibility for making good common sense decisions. So here's a question. I'll just throw it out there. How frequently would it be judicious to do the ultrasounds that parents are so fond of doing all through the pregnancy? An ultrasound theoretically should not have any kind of negative impact, but might that be an issue? Because they're doing more and more of those than they've ever done before.
Well, a lot of attention is being paid to vitamin D. Now, if you've ever looked at what prenatal vitamins have, those levels are very small. I'm not sure who even came up with them. But more important than prenatal vitamins is get your levels measured so you know if you're in a good zone or not. Whoever said that a pregnant mother needs fewer nutrients than a non-pregnant mother?
Okay, well, the FDA, I believe, has guidelines for vitamin A with regard to pregnant women, that vitamin A may be associated with a greater risk of miscarriage.
So when pregnant, you need a vitamin D level above 50. This not only protects you, it protects your baby from serious complications such as premature delivery and preeclampsia. So, easy thing. Check your vitamin D levels. I bet you the OBGYNs aren't doing that. All they want to do is, you know, hand out those prenatal vitamins, and we'll see you in 9 months.
And I very much warn moms who are pregnant or women who are considering becoming pregnant that you pay very, very close attention to the ingredients in those pharmaceutical prenatal vitamins, and for sure you want to move into a health food store brand, because the quality of the nutrients, the absorbability, and the product being free of talc, polyethylene glycol, polysorbate 80, artificial color, fillers, sucrose, sweeteners, all kinds of terrible things are not found in health food store quality prenatal vitamins.
Now, here are some statistics. Mothers who took just 4,000 units of vitamin D a day during their pregnancy. Now, 4,000 units, by the way, is 10 times the recommended daily allowance. So a lot of people say, wow, that's way too much vitamin D. And again, I'm saying, check your levels. But those women who were taking 4,000 units during their pregnancy had their risk of premature birth reduced by half. Now, another important thing is the premature babies born to women taking high doses of vitamin D were reduced by half at both 32 and 37 weeks. There were also fewer babies who were born small for dates, another important factor. Women, and here's even probably even more important, women taking high doses of vitamin D had 25% reduction in infections, particularly respiratory infections such as colds and flu, as well as fewer infections of the vagina and the gums. So here's, we're talking just one supplement. Think about just how deficient people are. Now, I know how deficient people are because we test levels. People are deficient. They call it affluent malnutrition. People don't look like they're starving. That's why we're misled. People come in here, majority are overweight, and but you check their levels of different nutrients, and they're deficient. The morbidities associated with pregnancy were reduced by 30% in the women who took high-dose vitamin D. What did that include? Diabetes, high blood pressure, preeclampsia, which is a potentially deadly increase in blood pressure, and fluid accompanied by low platelets. Babies getting the highest amounts of vitamin D after birth had fewer colds and less eczema. Now, I'm not sure what you tell new mothers what to give their babies in the context, say, of vitamin D or vitamin A or any of that.
Well, one of the things that's coming to mind is a new baby, 3 weeks old, with rosacea, eczema, all kinds of red skin, particularly around the face and arms. And one of the things that I said, Natron has an infant profile of beneficial bacteria. Start that. Very, very important. We have created such a sterile environment for giving birth, and unfortunately the beneficial bacteria that are so necessary for healthy babies gets put aside.
Now, I recommend to women that you have to prepare for pregnancy before you get pregnant. And I would say at least 1 year before you're pregnant. You want to optimize your body so you can be even more assured that the baby will be as healthy as possible. Of course, optimizing your body means nutritional levels, but also means avoiding or reducing toxic loads in your body that needs to be looked at.
And we've gotten that high sign that we are out of time. You've been listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I've been talking with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we will be back tomorrow at 10 with more information for your good health. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.